up until late last week, I guess, my days are, it takes you a couple days to get into vacation, and then it takes you a couple days to get out of vacation, and I feel like I might be getting out of vacation. But up until the late in the week where we were gone, I had fully intended on starting the new series today. But as earlier in the week, as I started to get messages, and I was aware of a few things that were, when we left, of some things going on, but as the messages started to go in, come to me, and I want to let you know, as your pastor, even when I'm away like that, don't ever feel that you're, I want to know those things. I want to be praying with you. I want to know what's going on. That's never an imposition on me. I want to be able to journey even from a distance. But speaking of that distance, as I continued to get the messages, that 1,100 miles felt like 2,200 miles and 3,300 miles. And I know with everything going on and the nature of things with COVID, I couldn't get in physically to see people. But I know that proximity does not necessarily guarantee nearness. But just the feeling of having that much space between us became very, very tangible. And then as things developed, as I received the news of Vic early in the week, and then got the call Friday morning from Selena. And I want to share this with you. Selena wanted me to pass this on, Vic and Erlina's daughter, to thank you for being such a big part of their lives. They loved this church, and we loved them. And my wife, if you saw this morning, posted a tribute to them. And Erlina has been very much a grandmother to my children, who do not have their physical, biological grandmothers. And I'm going to miss Vic heckling me. I'll miss his voice, but I'm going to miss him heckling me. I'm going to miss the dad jokes, But as that news came, I knew we'll get to people skills. We'll cut it a week short, but we'll get to that. I knew that it would be irresponsible of me as a pastor, and not honoring of every, just to acknowledge what we've been through these last 2 weeks. Up to this point, we have been blessed. We've had cases, we've had people, but the people who've had it, I'm seeing your faces right now, by and large. And we've been blessed. But this hit us head on. And so it would be foolish of me to not walk myself, walk us kind of through this and just talk. And I don't have any shortage of moments in my life where I feel my inadequacy. That happens on a daily basis. But especially now. And I'm thankful that we just came through a series on grace because I've never, this is one of those handful of times where painfully might not be the right word, but I've just been very, very aware of not just my need for it, but all of our need for grace. And what this whole kind of two-week period has reminded me, and we've talked about this, but it's one thing to talk about it and to say it over and over again. It's another thing to actually have to face it. And it's the reality that as Christians, we are not immune from the pain and the struggle. In fact, there's a sense in which sometimes we might even feel it deeper. And there's nowhere in Scripture that gives us any indication that we're free from that. In fact, Jesus' closing words to his disciples, he pretty much told them, and this is a quote, "In this life, you are going to have trouble." He wasn't trying to be cold to them. He wasn't trying to, he was preparing them for the fact that in this life, it doesn't matter who you are, trouble comes. And we read story after story in Scripture, all the way back to Job, which is the one that, that's one of those stories, this is hard to get your mind around. How in the midst of them faithfully following God and serving God, people faced, we just talked about Paul a couple weeks ago, and the thorn that would not go away. And if there was anyone who embodied what it meant to faithfully serve God, it was the Apostle Paul. None of us are immune. We're not. We suffer the pains of this world. And it's not always physical. Sometimes it's mental. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's material. We are subject to the fallenness of the world around us. Because we are the side of heaven, we're part of that world. But I know, and this is something that pops into my head, because I sometimes want to be a contrarian, and I want to say, but come on. I mean, we're Christians, so there's got to, I mean, it's not just that we have to go through these things, we've got to have something that helps us out with this. You know, there's got to be some sort of benefit to following Jesus, and there is. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but I don't want to, and it's nothing that we haven't talked about multiple times. But I wanna say a few things before we get to that, because I think one of the dangers, especially from this position, is that we have a tendency to want to rush through the darkness to get to the light. And what we end up finding out is that we haven't really dealt with the pain. We haven't really dealt with what is going on. We just want everything to be made better. And that's a natural human. I mean, we all want that. If somebody's standing on your foot, if it hurts, you want them to get off of your foot. But it's probably important to find out what it is that's on your foot that's causing the pain. So we don't want to rush through that. But it's almost as if sometimes we as Christians have bought into this idea that if we just ignore the fact that something is wrong, and we sing the right songs and we say all the right words, then that it will all be okay. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes the pain lingers, and sometimes the thorn doesn't go away. And so, as your pastor, and as one who's journeying this with you, let me, and it sounds funny to me to say it this way, because you don't need my permission, but let me give you, before we get on to the rest of this, let me give you permission for a few things, and just tell you that it's okay. It's okay to be mad. Angry, even. The Bible does not condemn anger, it condemns sinning in your anger. So we want to be careful that we don't direct that anger at those next to us. That anger operates a lot of times like pain. It's an indicator that something is not right. And we as Christians, when I would hope for us, when anger and when we get upset, that comes from a place that it's an indicator that we are experiencing something that God did not intend. And so it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be upset. And that's being an emotional illiterate sometimes for me. That's a hard one. That's one that's taken a long time for me to come around to, that it's okay. It's okay to let things bother you. You don't hear that from the pulpit very often. You should smile and say praise the Lord, and you should. But it's okay. When things go wrong, it's okay to let it bother you. Because you know who else it bothers? It bothers God. God does not take pleasure in loss. He doesn't. He doesn't take pleasure in suffering. I think sometimes we painted a picture of God as just sitting in heaven waiting to strike people down, and I don't believe that. I believe that the things that many people suffer are things of their own making. God does not, this is going to be a controversial statement and I'll explain it. I don't believe that God sends anyone to hell. I believe that people make a choice this side of heaven to live their life in a certain way that God says. I think C.S. Lewis said it this way, there are those that will say, thy will be done to God, and there are those that God will say to them, thy will be done. I don't believe in a cruel God who does not feel what we feel. So it's okay to be mad. I told a couple people yesterday, I said, I'm not even sure what I'm feeling right now. I'm not even sure what I'm, in just full transparency, I'm still processing. We're still not out of the woods. And so I'm upset. I'm maybe angry, I guess you could say, at just the fact that in this life, these are things that we have to deal with. Because it's a sign and an indicator that things are not the way they're supposed to be. And so it's okay. The second thing it's okay to do is to lament. Now, I want to be very clear here. Lamenting and complaining are two different things. Complaining is usually directed toward each other. Lamenting, in fact, there's a whole book in the Old Testament, and ironically enough, it is called Lamentations. There's a whole section of another book, Psalms, that is dedicated to lament. This is one of the things that we have just lost, for some reason, have lost the ability. We don't know how to... I think we have, first of all, we have refused to let things bother us that should bother us, and then when they do, we don't know how to deal with it, so we just throw everything on each other instead of lamenting to God. In his commentary on Lamentations, Christopher J.H. Wright, and I would have put this up on the screen had I been thinking, had this to say about lament. And this is a friend of mine. This is one of his favorite quotes. He uses this. He quotes this all the time. Says, God has broad enough shoulders to cry on and a big enough chest to beat on. I love thinking about God that way. He has broad enough shoulders to cry on and a big enough chest to beat on. God even provides words in His Scriptures to permit us, indeed to encourage us, to do so. He wants us to bring those things to Him. He doesn't want us to wallow in that anger that it's okay to feel. He wants us to bring those things to Him. He is the only one who has shoulders broad enough and a chest big enough to bear those burdens. Do we help each other carry those things? Yes. And we're doing that. I mean, we're doing that now. We're helping each other carry. But it's okay. God knows what you're thinking anyway. It's okay to lament. It's okay to feel those things deeply. So, lament away. But take your lament to the one who's big enough to deal with what it is that you're carrying. So it's okay to be upset. It's okay to lament. The third thing that it's okay to do and you have permission to do, and this is probably one that's more of a reminder for me, it's okay to not have all the answers. I think some of the times, and this comes from a good place, but I fear that most of the time the foolish things we say come from a desire to fix things that we do not have the ability to fix. I can give some super spiritual answer on why we suffer the things we suffer, but sometimes we just don't know. And that's okay. In fact, I don't know if this would be encouraging to you, but I'm going to share it anyway. Even if you did know the answers, you probably would not understand half of them. Because they come from a mind and they come from a being that's much bigger than you are. And I am. So it's okay to not know what to say. Sometimes just being is enough of an answer. I heard a story of a pastor who walked into a hospital room of a couple that had just, the baby was basically stillborn. And they walked in and they didn't know what to say, and all they did was picked up the baby and just wept. That's all the answer that couple needed. They needed someone to suffer with them. They needed someone to walk with them. And that pastor knew he didn't have the flowery words to say. He didn't have the, all he could do was, to the best of his ability, enter into what it was they were experiencing. It's okay to not know. So it's okay to be upset. It's okay to lament to God about what you're experiencing. In fact, I encourage you to do that. It's okay to not have all the answers. And the last thing that it's okay to do, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to mourn. It is okay to feel sorrow. Loss is terrible. Loss hurts. Loss is tangible. There are seats over here to my right that are never going to be filled by the two people they've been filled with. And I feel that. And I grieve that, and I mourn that, and you do too. And that's okay. And I don't say this to be a downer, but they may not be the last ones we mourn. Sometime in our life, they're not going to be the last ones we mourn. Unless Jesus decides to clean this all up and take us home. So it's okay to grieve. We feel that deep within us. And these things are okay because God planted those things in us. He planted, it sounds funny, but He planted the emotion of anger in us. He feels a righteous, holy anger. He planted within us this desire to want to give voice to our complaint. He planted within us this desire to have the answers. He planted within us this deep emotion of grief and mourning when we suffer loss. And as hard as they are to walk through sometimes, man, if we didn't have a way to deal with the pain and loss that we experience, these are God's, these are gifts to us from God to be able to walk the dark paths that we walk in life. But they're not the final word. We can feel anger, but if we just stop there, then something's wrong. We can't use the knowledge that we don't know as an excuse for ignorance. We can't use our desire to cry out as an excuse to just dump all of our emotions and feelings on other people. And we can't use our freedom to mourn and grieve to just wallow in that. God gives us, we do that in a framework. We've talked about this. And again, this is one of those moments where we talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and then something happens in life where it's, okay, Buster, put your money where your mouth is. And that's for all of us. Do we really believe the good news on the other side of all of this that we experience? And I want to read two scriptures, and I'm not going to comment much on them. And I was not worried, although both of you read something out of Revelation. I wasn't scared that you were going to steal my scripture. But I just want to share two scriptures that it just seems like these are the two for me. God, when something big happens in life, when something that just reminds me that this world is just bleh, God just pulls me back to these. And the reason I find so much hope in them is because I know the framework that's behind what these words say. I have a context in which I process reading these things. It's not an empty thing that I read to just make me feel better. As much as I feel the grief and the lament and the anger from the bad stuff, I feel tangibly the good news of what these have to say to us. And the first is found in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. I want to pause right there, because I think some translations have gone out of their way to deaden the blow of that word. Those who have fallen asleep. They have fallen asleep. But from our experience, from our point of view, they've died. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging that their earthly existence has ceased. We want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. I want you to feel permission to experience all of those things, but I want you to do so not as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. There will be a reunion. And if you think potlucks at the park are fun, you have never experienced a reunion like we're going to experience. And Vic and Erlina might not be thinking about us right now, and that's okay. They've got other things going on. But I'm looking forward to hearing Vic crack another corny dad joke. There is a reunion. We do not lament. We do not grieve. We do not experience anger as those who think or feel that those things have the last word. We have hope. And we have hope, as Paul says here, precisely because Jesus died and rose again. He killed death. The second one, and I'm going to try to get through this one. I remember even before we moved, Matt and Janice had me on the Wednesday night back in January, and there were some things going on in our country, and wanted to know if I wanted to join them for the Wednesday night devotion. I said sure, and I read this. I read this scripture. This is one of those moments and it's a hard one for me to get through. But you understand. that even if it's hard for me to fathom, or hard for me to believe that the words are true that I'm reading, there's something about what it has to say that somewhere down the road just renews that hope. And it's found in Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old earth, or the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, from the throne, you know who that is coming from. It's coming from the one who killed death. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. There's no other way to translate that word, forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. These last 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, the 2 weeks after that, do not have the last word. Jesus said it. I'm the beginning and the end. I have the final say. That's hope. And that's what I've got. I've got nothing else to give you today but hope. And it's not an empty hope. It's not a pie in the sky, by and by hope. It is a hope that is found in the one who has tasted death and defeated it. And because of that, we mourn, we grieve, we're angry, we lament, but we do not do so as those who have no hope. We know that those things are temporary, because there's coming a day where there will be no death. There will be no lament. There will be no anger. There'll be no reason. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no grieving or mourning. You know why? Because we will be with God. He will be our dwelling place. There's a couple who are experiencing that right now. And so that's what I've got. Grace and peace and hope that we find in no other place than in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all are experiencing on varying levels all of these things we talked about. We're upset. We feel this loss. We still feel the burden and the weight of those who are still fighting to get to the other side of this. And it's not just this. COVID is so tangibly present right now that that's what's on our minds, but it's just the frailty of life. And we want to cry out. We want to find someone whose shoulders are broad enough and whose chest is big enough, and we know that that's you. And so we pour out our lament to you that we don't like this. We don't rejoice in this. We rejoice that we have hope in you and that those that we are missing right now are experiencing the fruit of that hope, but we experience the grief and sorrow of their loss. And so may you remind us, may you give us the grace, there's the word grace, may you give us the grace to know the hope that we have, that even though, as Paul said, even though we experience this loss, we do not experience it as those who do not have hope. We have a glorious reunion to look forward to. And may those of us who are remaining, may we be instruments of that hope. Yes, let's mourn. Let's not try to paint over the pain that we're feeling. But let's do so with an eye toward the glorious reality that death is not the final word. Suffering is not the final word. Tears will cease. Death will be no more. Those things will be gone forever. But in the meantime, we need your grace. We need your presence among us to bind us together. That as we walk through these dark moments, these dark times, that we would do so bearing one another's burdens, lifting one another up, encouraging one another, not lashing out, but we would do so with a oneness and a togetherness that points to the one thing that unites us, and that is that we have been found and called and redeemed and renewed by the Creator of the universe. And that as we find our hope in Him, the sorrow and the pain that we feel is temporary. We know that one day those things will be no more. And so for those among us who are still in the thick of this, Lord, we just, as Janice said, we pray boldly that you would work miracles that only you can work. And that through that the doctors, the nurses, those who are observing would know that it was your hand that did this. And that you would receive all the glory. We trust your goodness to us. We trust your love for us. And we trust that there's nothing in our sorrow and in our grief that is going to cause you to abandon us. That you're walking this road hand in hand with us. We love you, Lord, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.